You are listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire.
Hello and welcome. It is the Fabulous Foursome, or the Quirky Quartet. Fran Berry, Brendan Duke, John McDonald, and myself, Johnny Ward. And we're here to preview an absolute bumper weekend of racing in Ireland between Cork and Fairy House, where obviously the Irish National is going to be centre stage on Monday. But lots to talk about at Fairy House before that and on the flat at Cork. Gentlemen, how are you all doing?
Good,
yeah, good, Johnny.
All good, Johnny.
And catch up with the three of you very quickly individually. Juki, the highlight of your recent days has been your first swim of the year.
Yes, first swim of the season. Took advantage of the unseasonably warm weather earlier in the week. I only got in very briefly. My arms felt quite heavy and I probably went in too close to high tide. But I've definitely improved for the run, so I was delighted to get it out.
It's beautiful to be at one with nature again. And John McDonald, this is a big enough weekend for Barrow and a couple of big races sponsored at Cork.
Yeah, huge weekend, Johnny, from a business point of view. But it's the first year that we've partnered with Cork Racecourse. We sponsored two races on Easter Sunday, what was formerly the Imperial Call Chase. There's six in that and 10 have declared for the hurdle as well, including Petty Mouchoir and Bapom. So, yeah, big weekend ahead.
Fran Berry, I can't actually see you or smell you or even do anything, but I just sense that you would love a pint of Guinness this evening.
It's Good Friday. I suppose it would be a really good Friday if we could get them. But no, we'll busy weekend, and then maybe Sunday we might get a takeaway pint, Johnny. But it's good to be back on. Great mix of flat and jumps racing this weekend. And lovely to see the Irish National back on. You forget it was gone last year, don't you?
That's right, yeah. So we will have audio from races that we're going to talk about. It was actually from 2019. Before all of that, I caught up for Fairy House with Paul Nolan and Joseph O'Brien in recent days just to chat about their runners in the Irish National. And after that, we'll get into the weekend's action. And stay tuned as well, because I have an exclusive interview with Peter Fahey.
Maybe in these races now, they're so competitive, you need a young horse that might have a bit in hand.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, in my opinion, the money is a little bit, everyone's getting a little bit carried away with themselves, you know. But
how do you mean?
Well, he's completed three of his five chase runs, you know, and now he jumps into an Irish National. You know, I think it's a much bigger ask than kind of what has been said, but the horse is in good form. And
Can you explain that, actually? So going from, like, your maidens, which are, you're probably running nearly graded races at our maidens.
Yeah.
But small fields, and now you're going into the hurly-burly of this.
Yeah, it's a different ball game, you know, and you know, he was relatively lightly raced over hurdles as well. So I just think experience-wise, it's a big ask. But you know, there's no doubt that he is a talented horse, and he's proved that in the past. But it's a big ask to go into an Irish National, and but the horse is in good form, and you know, hopefully he can get a share of the prize money, which is fantastic. It's a big pot, and it'll be very hard to win it. You know, there's no doubt that experience is a big help. There's only one way to get experience, and that's by running in the races. So, we're looking forward to him, and we're looking forward to Home by the Lee as well, who has a little bit more experience, but still is a novice. And
we saw him wearing the hood. Yeah. He wears a hood in a lot of his work, you're saying?
Yeah, he wears a hood in his routine training. He can be a little bit of a handful at times, but he's a very tough horse. Should stay very well, and you know, we're looking forward to running him also.
Yeah, and you might have three or four in the race.
Yeah, so Top Moon is...
Might creep in.
Only probably 50-50 to get in. So he'd be a runner if he gets in. And Mortal is guaranteed in, and the plan is to run him as well. He'd love getting back on a bit of nicer ground. That'd be a big help to him.
Yeah, I just don't think it was the same horse. I think that, you know, for whatever reason, he was a better horse at Christmas, and maybe the Christmas race took a bit more out of him than we thought.
Tough race,
you know, our fella, he's not a big, robust sort of it. He's an angular type of horse, and I'm hoping to God that he's in a better place now. And I think that the longer the gap between his races, the better he'll be. And possibly my horses were, I'm not saying they're, you know, there was nothing much wrong with them, but I think they could be sort of a little bit better now maybe than when they were then. They just seem to be coming out of whatever little bit of a cloud. We couldn't find nothing wrong. Bloods, lung washes, everything seemed okay, but for whatever reason we were disappointed with a few of them, and maybe he'll be a little bit better as well, I hope.
Yeah, let's start, lads, with Saturday's racing, and it's obviously a big meeting at Ferryhouse, but a big meeting at Cork as well. Might start with you, Fran. Did Anthony take your right? They have the Sean Barrett Bloodstock listed stakes and the Noblesse stakes as well, over a mile and a half. First flat meeting of the year in Mallow.
Yeah, cracking card there, and that 7 furlong track in Mallow slash Cork has been a game changer, I think, for Irish racing. Very, very fair. Sprint is wide open. Make a Challenge making his comeback run. I'll be watching that race more than playing in it. Keep an eye on Real Force, in that he could improve maybe this season as a four-year-old. The Noblesse 420, no three-year-olds in it, lads. To give the weight for age away to Princess Zoe, is making her comeback after that great year she had last year. Some interesting types in it, but no more so than Flor de la Luna, trained by Jessica Harrington. She pulled up in her first start, literally three strides out of gates in Roscommon, very heavily backed on that occasion. And we didn't see her for effectively 4 or 5 months. And she pitched up at the Curragh back end of the year. And she was very, very impressive, winner over a mile and a half. Went around hard in the bridle. Maybe not the strongest maiden, but the promise is definitely there. And she could be valued tomorrow in that Noblesse stakes.
Just while you're there on that, I find it intriguing looking at these flat races, the straight seven, we'll say, or the straight mile. You're talking of Newcastle, Newmarket and so forth. You didn't ride the straight seven at Cork, Fran, but what challenge is that for a jockey?
Well, it's a bit new to Irish racing, isn't it? You know, we're used to bends, even the Curra, you know, 7 furlongs on a dog leg and whatnot. So it's a totally different style of racing. I do think high draws are definitely a help there, but it's probably more pace dependent than draw. And you know, the 16 runners tomorrow, that's due to the stable capacity, I imagine, more and the ground more than anything else. I think they can run 20 odd on that track should they wish, and it's a big help to the industry, and very, very fair race, and I think it's a great thing to have.
Yeah, I do like the flat track there. Juki, one of my selections, I have three selections at Cork tomorrow on the Racing TV website, but one of my selections is Modus Operandi. He's a Frankel horse who was very eye-catching at Nace. Now, he's running in the 5:30, which is a maiden notable for Coloured Sergeant, finally trying to get his head in front. I love Kingman, obviously. I'm just not sure this horse is straightforward because he's had so many chances. Modus Operandi, tongue tie on for the first time, but Aidan O'Brien's three-year-olds are in unbelievable form, and one such three-year-old, one with the first-time tongue tie, to doctor in the week. What do you like?
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir with that Modus Operandi. Big eye-catcher in Nace, had no look and run, not only by Frankel, but out of a Mangeau mare. So the step up to 10 first should be right up his alley, and Colour Sergeant does look a vulnerable fav. I mean, that's even, if I suppose Colour Sergeant, he should go off fav, but as you mentioned, the way Aidan has started the season, it's hard to oppose any of his horses, and I wouldn't worry too much about the tongue tie. Anytime he puts headgear or aids on, he's an incredible record with any assistance he puts on his horses. So I liked him. I could sort of see Fran's angle with that filly, but it's annoying in a way. The Kirsten Rousing, that Tetra Pak money, they just don't care about handicaps, do they? She would have got a mark in the mid-80s, I'd say. And we could have absolutely ploughed into her. But if you have that Tetra Billions, you don't need to worry about handicaps. Fair enough. So the other one I'll give you is this Insignia Rank in the 455, a competitive 10 furlong handicap. Put up a good effort in the link and beaten about 3 lengths. The handicappers dropped him 2 pounds, which I thought was quite nice of him. The step up and trip, I think, is a positive. Another positive is the fact that while he hasn't won in the guts of 2 years, he is over 20 pounds below his highest mark. So he's of definite interest.
John?
See, Dermot Weld is two-handed in the last maiden. You might remember Harzan won that maiden 5 years ago, Easter 2016. He won his maiden down at Cork by 16 lengths and, of course, went on to win the Derby. Weld is two-handed in that. And elsewhere on the card, the maiden, I just want to give a quick mention to Castle Star. Tom Gaffney, who's the chairman of Cork Race Course, he owns that. And I don't know, they might have it ready to rock there. Fozzie Stack is good with those early season juveniles as well down the years. Just keep an eye on that one, Castle Star and the 2-year-old maiden.
Well, it's just such a fascinating race, that, because you mentioned like that angle would have gone completely over my head. But briefly as well, Fran, you've Calamasso, who's first time tongue tied by no name ever, obviously son of Scat Daddy, as is Caravaggio, who is responsible for Chin Canton, who was the first second runner for Caravaggio for Donegal Ryan. The first one ran okay up the Curragh on day one.
Yes, and obviously Caravaggio got off the market Nace last Sunday with that Aidan O'Brien winner. I put a line through Donica's first Caravaggio run. That horse got really worked up in the stable yard when getting saddled and judged it on Aidan's horse last week. And he looks a real, you know, I started to follow, I suppose, at the early part of the year. The 3:45, we must give that a mention. That's a cracking three-year-old only handicap, although it's at the minimum trip 5 furlongs. Keep an eye on Clayna at number 3, trained by William McCreary. The McCreary horse don't usually win maidens first time out, and she was very good on the last day of the season, effectively at the Curragh, when winning well, beating Kynes Cross. And I think the third horse, Charmed, went on to win afterwards. Form, she could be a real improver for that team, but a wide open handicap that Rosie Bassett and Gramata also in it.
Yeah, Clane, obviously the Irish for Clane, the place we've gotten to know a lot actually during lockdown, thanks to the Clane Wheelers Cycling Club, giving them a mention there. And obviously we've got to mention Princess Zoe, who's a bit of banter from her owner there on Twitter, lads, during the week. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see it. I saw he's sponsoring a race in Fairy House at the weekend. I didn't even know he was on Twitter.
Yeah, Paddy Keogh was a little bit upset with the excess publicity for Princess Zoe, but you know, you can obviously check that out on Twitter. But let's get to Fairy House, John, because this is actually a really, really good start. I like it. It's the proper kind of appetizer for the big race ahead, because you have some very, very competitive races, good races as well. I'll go through a couple that took my eye in due course. What do you like?
I like the bumpers. I'm a real sucker for bumpers. There's two really good bumpers, two winners bumpers. The mare's bumper, John Kiley's filly, Shul Valentine, she won on Leinster National Day at Nace. I thought she was really impressive. I think she'll be hard to beat. And one just worthy of a quick mention, Eddie Cawley's Golden Jewel in the handicap hurdle. He's got some good form in those competitive handicaps. I think he'll run well at a price, maybe.
Like, okay, the three horses that I tipped are on the website, but one of them was Mount Ida, Fran, and essentially, you know, the horse is at the weights, should be beating Ellie May, but I'm kind of speculating here. I thought Ellie May had a really, really hard race at Cheltenham, and you may counter, well, Mount Ida didn't have an easy race either, but what are you liking it?
Look, Mount Ida was fascinating, wasn't it, that race in Cheltenham, the way she didn't travel and then picked up to win by 6 lengths.
At least she's going right now as well.
That's true, and you know, she's clearly got a load of ability. Ellie May, I'd agree totally with you. She was in a race for a long way out with Colreeby, getting Colreeby kept jumping into her, and that probably made a difference in the last half furlong. What's in Ellie May's favour, though, she had a quick turnaround from running second to Hallahoe to winning in Nace, and I know it's only 15 days, but I think Ellie May's in a different class to these.
Wow, big words, Yuki.
Yeah, well, it's easy to get seduced by that 6 pounds that Mount Ida is getting, but there's a problem with this, isn't there? Because you get inflated marks from running in handicaps. Ellie May has more ability than Mount Ida, and she's a quicker animal as well. So if Ellie May had to concede a stone to Mount Ida, I still think she'd be favoured over this trip. So I'd be surprised if she gets beaten. But that's good for you, Johnny, if you're getting a prize.
Yeah, I'm definitely very interested in Super Citizen for the O'Sullivan team in the Lady Riders handicap chase, because this horse obviously got a bit of nice ground at Leopardstown, was a big prize, but wasn't able to add in the betting. And I just think in a race like this, where you've all these Lady Riders, some of whom I wouldn't really even know that well. Obviously, Lisa O'Neill riding for Gavin Cromwell is an interesting one, but essentially, Maxine O'Sullivan rides this horse all the time, and they're actually going to go for the Fox Hunters. But they kind of decided against it because of the amateur situation, which makes this horse very interesting. Because in the end, actually, he bolted up at Leopardstown. Anyway, he's only 6 pounds higher here, and he's only 7-year-old by multiplex, so obviously it's not a surprise that he does like a bit of nice ground. Anything else at Fairy House, lads, on day one?
No, I struggled with the card. I mean, John likes bumpers, but I'm not mad about bumpers. I'm not mad about hunter chases. I'm not mad about 20 runner handicaps, and I'm not mad about handicaps for lady riders. So I kind of passed on the whole card.
Mad about you, trained by DK Weld, of course, in the past. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. We might as well start at Cork, because Bar One sponsoring a couple of big races, including the Grade 3, which was previously named in honour of Imperial Call, and actually was won by a horse trained by Peter Fahey in 2019. We'll be talking to Peter in due course.
third last fence, and it's Kilultavik who comes to it, almost joined and joined issue now on the near side. Is Time for West, and Time for West comes out with a fractional advantage. Baldark chased in third. Westerner Point tries to stay on in four, but coming down towards the second last. Kilultavik and Time for West. Time for West lands with a two-length advantage. Kilultavik awkward in second. Baldark back in third, and racing down between the final two fences, it's Time for West and Dunamiler Gunner. Gone on by 2 to 3 lengths. Kilultavik trying hard in second, not giving up the ghost, but at the last, Time for West gets in a bit close. Kilultavik has another go on the far side, clear of Baldark in third, but racing inside the final 150 yards, Time for West has picked up again. Kilultavik tries again, switch to the near side. Time for West from Kilultavik, 3/4 of a length in it, but Time for West holds on to beat Kilultavik, clear of Baldark in third.
Yeah, interesting card for you guys to sponsor, John. You got a couple of nice races as well.
Yeah, it's a good competitive card. Big fields down at Mallow on Sunday. The Grade 3, Johnny, I mean, class-wise, we will see better Grade 3s through the year, but it's competitive enough. Spyglass Hill, he hasn't won a race yet, has he? Hasn't won a race for a while over fences. He's been fancied for some big handicaps over the last 12 months or so. He might be the one to be on. And we got a good class of horse in the hurdle, as I said earlier. Petty Mouchoir and Bob Palm have both been declared.
Fran?
Yeah, that Grade 3, I think Go Another One is interesting on drying ground on a track that he won really well, albeit over hurdles last summer. He could really enjoy a return to a smaller field and at drier conditions. And Bapome seemed to have been reinvigorated. I know it was a weak race on his most recent start when he won down there, but he is a horse with plenty of ability, and he just might have gained enough confidence from that to go on and run up a sequence through the spring into the summer in these kind of conditions, hurdles.
It's funny looking at a race like that, Yuki, because it almost renders this whole graded thing complete nonsense. This doesn't have a grade, this race, but you have Bapome rated 154, worthy of his mark, or thereabouts. Petty Mouchoir rated 155, quite patently worthy of his mark. And that then renders these horses like Wonder Leish, Soul Pretender, Tudor City, Galway Hurdle winner, very good horse on their day, up against it in a conditions race.
Yes, and I suppose they have to be careful about how close they get, although you would think...
I mean, they have to be careful about how close they get.
Well, I mean, you could easily, like, Petty Mouchoir has all the ability in the world, and obviously we saw he ran a massive race to finish second in Cheltenham, but he's a professional. He's hard to finish his second for a living. So you could go... horse is rated a stone inferior. Now, I think the handicappers are savvy enough to know this, though. I don't think they just raise a horse a stone because of that. But it's just something that's in the back of your mind when you're entering the horse. I would have thought. I'm only guessing here. Bapome will probably win that because Petty Mouchoir will lie down and die before he goes past something. So I think
that's really, really harsh. But what would surprise you more, him winning or Colour Sergeant winning this weekend?
Him winning.
Right. I'm always intrigued by this notion that, yeah, horse just don't want to win. But to be fair, it's a long, long time since he has won. Anything else on the card of Cork? It's very competitive, lads.
Very competitive. I just give a shout out to Botan in the 405. Now, speaking of the Mouchoir, she can flatter to deceive a little bit, but very strong form, fifth in that mare's hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival that Heaven Help Us won and tell me. So Botani gets to race off the same mark here, and she is a very strong traveller, so perhaps this big field setup might suit her. I might chance a few quid on her.
How is your line? He's a Joe Joyce. You produced it at a Cheltenham preview night one night, like a travelly thing.
Travels like Joe Joyce, yeah. My brother-in-law got a kick that when I told him about one we'd backed in Cheltenham that ultimately failed to win, but did travel like the king of the travellers.
And in fairness, Cheltenham preview nights, I mean, after, I think, one of the last ones we were at, Juki, we must have had 4 or 5 IPAs and we hadn't even gotten to the champion hurdle. And maybe you're apt to say things that you might regret in due course.
Yeah, but no one was watching, though.
Chatham House rules and all that. Let's get to Fairy House. The 5 o'clock is obviously the to highlight here the Underwriting Exchange Gold Cup Novice Chase, and 2 years ago this produced an exciting finish.
Real Steel is beginning to follow through his stable companion, and then Winter Escape, Mingley Khan, a mistake there, was beaten anyway. They've two fences left to jump, and it's Vodarev the leader as Real Steel has picked up the chase. The stable companions representing Willie Mullins, and then Winter Escape and Mingley Khan coming down to the final fence in the Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase, and it is Vodarev from Real Steel. There's a good three lengths between them at the final fence. Vodarev over from Real Steel. They're well clear from Winter Escape and Bengley Khan, and it's Vodarev for a change in fortunes for Andre and Graeme Wiley has won the Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase for Willie Mullins. Repeating last year's win when he won it with Album Photo, Real Steel gives the Close Sutton trainer a 1-2.
Start with you on this one, John.
Yeah, Asturian for Launch, I'd imagine, will be favourite, Johnny. Although I think it's going to take a brave person to go in at the price. I think he'll be around about 5-4, maybe 6-4. He was a good run at Cheltenham, but coming up quite quickly after that run, you might just be brave going in. Franco de Porte is stepping up to 2.5 miles. I'd be inclined to go for maybe the bigger price runners. Andy Dufresne, maybe conflated. He won a boat race at Nace the last day, but he could run well at a price, conflated.
Yeah, in fairness to Asturian for Lorange, with all that, you know, the Cheltenham, you know, experience that he had last year, the fact that he raced wide and he was a little bit keen at Cheltenham. I actually thought he ran a sound race, and obviously that was a race notable for Anvoilin, you know, exiting early, but the form is obviously still very solid. Dukey, I think he'll take a lot of beating here.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm a bit like John, though. I just couldn't back him at 5-4. And then you're looking at Andy Dufresne. I thought he looked a bit soft. Granted, it was behind Monkfish at the Dublin Racing Festival. Franco de Porte never jumped a fence in the Arkle. I just see holes in the race everywhere. So I'm just going to pass. I'll watch it.
Fran, we have this, and we obviously have the Mayor's Grade 1 as well. So a brilliant, brilliant card at Ferry House on Sunday.
Yeah, really good card. Just an Asturian for Launch, he's got a perfect setup going right-handed. And given the way he got things together at Cheltenham, he should take beating. But Andy Dufresne might be a bet to nothing at 4-1, effectively. You could take your chance each way. I couldn't see him out of money. A fresh horse on better ground, it might just suit him well to put it up to the favourite. That Grade 1, Johnny, Willie Mullins obviously got three in it. Royal Illusion's very interesting after winning her second start at Leopardstown on good ground, over 2.5 miles. She was a Cesarewitch winner, and she comes here again fresh, missed Cheltenham, unlike Glen's Antrim and Hook Up. But another one that missed Cheltenham is Atlantic Fairy. I'm a big fan of this filly. I think she really has gone under radar in some respects. And she was very good at Navan. She was extremely good at Limerick. They're all on testing ground. That's the only question. If she can transfer that form, that gallop, she can go and maintain on better ground, she could be very good. But the ground is the question. But she's a high-class filly in the making.
It's a proper race, to be fair, John. Like, when you look at it, Glens of Antrim, Hook Up, Rosie's Hollow, Royal Illusion, very good horse in the flat. And, you know, there are 10 other horses against them as well.
Yeah, those mares that ran in Cheltenham, I think they're all much of a muchness, to be honest. And I tend to agree with Fran. Royal Illusion, I know she's a 9-year-old mare now, but she's got a bit of quality off the flat. She's quite fresh as well. She's only had one run since December. That was when winning at Leopardstown last time. And yeah, with that bit of freshness on her side, I would go with her. I've been trying to take a chance with her.
Anything else on the card, lads?
The Devil's Coach fan at 250. Missed Cheltenham, and I think Noel Mead's horse obviously in great form, won the Lincoln Cheltenham winner, Jeff Kidder, and this horse could have took his chance perhaps in the Supreme, but he's waited for this, and he should take beating.
Let's hear from Peter Fahey, which will build us up nicely into the Irish National on Monday. I spoke to him on, what night is it now? I spoke to him on Holy Thursday night in advance of the big dog who was going to be leading fancy in the Irish Grand National.
Peter, first of all, just belated congratulations on Belfast Banter, a horse that I think he was one of them funny horses that had run so many good races for you, but had kind of found it hard to win, and next thing he bolts up in a handicap at Cheltenham.
Yeah, look, he has been frustrating, would be an understatement, to be honest with you. Like, he ran some good races and good maiden hurdles, and then we went for a week of races, he'd still get beaten. Like, but funny enough, like, he won his maiden hurdle in Galway, which is a stiff track, which was actually a surprise for us. And then for him to come out and win in Cheltenham was unbelievable, you know. It was great. Brilliant for the owners and brilliant for everyone in the yard, you know.
And brilliant for Kevin Sexton as well, you know, who you've just, I suppose, you've developed such a good and bountiful partnership with him, and, you know, a great kind of success for him. You know, he had his ban in the past, and he's come back a really, really good rider and has kind of flourished, no thanks to yourself.
Yeah, look, at Kevin, the one thing about Kevin was he's always a good rider, you know what I mean? Always a very good rider, and he suits them horses, you know. I mean, he's very patient, and he showed in Cheltenham how good he was, you know. He never panicked on the horse, and he let the race develop in front of him. But no, he gave him a great ride, and look at Kevin's a very good rider.
He's probably a jockey that you nearly think the best is yet to come from as well, because I suppose there is a space for a jockey like him to really develop into, you know, a jockey who just, you know, has a lot of winners every year.
Yeah, he does. Like, I suppose it's hard to get, it's the big yards to get going in one of the big yards to really get flying. Do you know what I mean? So, but look, he is a jockey. He's a jockey that I can't understand why he doesn't get a lot more rides than he does. But I suppose that's the racing game in Ireland. It's so tight, you know. It's hard for any rider to get going. But look, we're very lucky to have him. And look, I can't say enough good about him. How good he is to ride, you know.
Now, the big dog, obviously a horse that you've kind of thought a lot of for a long time. I suppose the first question is, is the ground a concern? I was at Ferry House the other day, and, you know, it's actually probably kind of verging towards summer ground soon, if it didn't get rain. But how much is that a concern for you, and how happy are you going into the race?
Look, as long as the ground is safe, he'll definitely run. That's the way it is with him. Like, he has, if you look back at his form, he has good snippets of form on yielding ground. Look, I know he picked up an injury before, but in fairness, look, at as long as it's safe, and I can't see why Peter Rowe and Ferry House won't have the ground safe. Like, you know, it's the big meeting, and all they need is a small bit of rain, you know. So fingers crossed if the ground is safe. Look, he probably is a better horse on heavy ground, but he has plenty of good form on nicer ground too, you know, and especially over the 3 mile forward mightn't be as much of a hindrance to him.
Imagine, I suppose, the horse that he is physically and all that he's probably taking a bit of time and that he's coming to himself now.
Yeah, look at the year off actually probably done him no harm, and every run this year has been a better run, you know. Like, he'd a good run his first run back, and I know he was unlucky and see then his second run, but he's been running in races that the beginner's chases with small field, and he's not a horse that's just kind of brave enough to go on and make it a gallop and make it a test for him. So he's running muddling kind of paces, and it wouldn't be to his favour at all. And I suppose the kind of a fast run race in Punchestown the last day suited him great. He was able to get a lead as long as he could with Jamie. And sure, in fairness, when he took it up after the third last, he was only he was kind of waiting away in front. You know, I was very impressed the way he won the last day, to be honest.
What sort of impressed me was that, you know, I looked for all the world he was going to win well. Then, you know, after last and Streaming Colours came up sides, he looked kind of beat, but he was going away again at the finish.
Yeah, that's him. Like, I suppose you stop the race before the turn in, you'd say, how far was he going to win? And then he kind of pulled himself up away in front. And that's been him, like, you know, in these beginner's chases, we're trying to kind of force the pace on as much as we could with him to make it a stamina test. And he's just the type of horse that waits away in front. I actually, the more I look back at the race the last day, I think he won pretty snug, you know.
And did he win snug enough, I suppose, to defy the rise that he got him with an Irish National?
Sure, but it's hard to know. It's hard to know that. You don't know till we run. But I still think he's well handicapped. I think, as I said to you earlier on, he's improved with every run. And I think he's actually improved again. You know, he's a very lightly raced horse. Very, very lightly raced horse. And it's the big bonus, I suppose, for him. Like, he's still a novice, and he had a run. He's after having a run in a good handicap already. So that should help him a good bit improve. He's jumping a bit in sharpness wise, you know. So it's a bit, definitely a bit of a plus that he's had a run in a big handicap already.
And who'll ride?
Jamie ride him.
Jamie, you think Jamie suits him?
Do you know what? He got on well with him. Look, he rode him the last day and it worked out for him well. So look, he's a very strong rider, you know. So I think he'll suit him, yeah. I think he'll definitely suit him.
What sort of chance would you give him, Peter?
I'd be very disappointed if he's not in the first four, to be honest.
Mm.
Being an Irish National, look, you have to have everything. You have to have an improving horse, and it suits novices. I think that suits him. Look, at you would love a little bit more rain just to be sure of the ground being safe enough for him. But I'd be very disappointed if he's not in the first four or five. It's, even though it's a very competitive race, I think he's a horse on the improve, and I genuinely wouldn't swap him for anything in the race.
Here's one for you now. How would it compare him winning that to Belfast Bantro in the Cheltenham?
Oh, I'd be equally as happy, that's being honest. Look at when we won in Cheltenham, I was thrilled, and I was like, this is great. And all I wanted to get was another winner now in Cheltenham. But look at to win an Irish National, sure, it's a huge race, massive race for everyone involved, and to have a horse going there with a good chance is brilliant. But genuinely, if he could win it, geez, I'd be equally as good as Cheltenham, yeah.
I know it's not the same without a crowd and all that, but if you strip that away, the amount of people that'll be watching this, both on racing TV, obviously, and just on terrestrial television and across the two islands, really, over the day, it'll take centre stage. And I imagine the buzz that you'll feel before, throughout and after the race will be the same, nearly as if there were no crowd or if there were a crowd there.
Definitely. Like, look, with Cheltenham, even we got a huge buzz out of it. You know, huge buzz out of it. And sure, look, it'd be equally the same. The Irish National, like, I know there's no crowds there, and here if you win, there's nothing like, I suppose, walking into a packed winners' enclosure. But you still get the huge buzz out of it and the relief of having done it. You know, so look, at fingers crossed, we're feeling that excitement and everything afterwards on Monday. You know.
You are listening to On The Wire, sponsored by Bar One Racing, who are paying seven places on the Irish and Aintree Grand Nationals.
Acapella Bourgeois and Burlow Saint, the stable companions, have picked off Whispering the Breeze. On the outside is Bellow Mome with Isle of Hope and Dreams as they come to the third last fence. And it's Burlow Saint in the centre. Whispering the Breeze blundered. Burlow Saint and Ruby Walsh is pulling double as they come towards the second last. It's Burlow Saint, the leader, from Acapella Bourgeois, Isle of Hope and Dreams, then Bellow Mome as they come down towards the final fence in the Boyne Sports Arena. Grand National, and it is Burrow Saint chased by stable companion Isle of Hope and Dreams and Acapella Bourgeois. Willie Mullins is going to add the missing piece, but with which one? It's Burrow Saint from Isle of Hope and Dreams and Acapella Bourgeois as they run up towards the finish. Burrow Saint is going to win the National. Burrow Saint and Ruby Walsh have won it for Willie Mullins, his first Boyne Sports Irish Grand National.
Dukie, what do you like in the race?
Well, Johnny, I would like to take you back to the Grand National of 4 years ago, won by our Duke, a novice of three, who was back from about 8-1 into 9-2. And I see something very similar happening with Latest Exhibition, another novice racing off 153. I mean, what's not to like about this horse? Obviously, he's run into Monkfish, but even the form of that run over Christmas when inflated and Heaven Help Us were beaten 7 wickets. Then he finishes 11 lengths behind Monkfish at the DRF, granted, but he's still in front of Andy Dufresne and Arsterian for launch. The step up and trip promises the suit. He should be different class to these, and I'm very surprised he's 7-1.
Should be different class to these, John McDonald.
Yeah, his novice chase form obviously is top class, and our Duke, funny Duke, he referred to him. I mean, you could call him the winner 5 or 6 furlongs out back in 2017. He absolutely slaughtered them. And this fella has a similar kind of a profile, second in the Flow Glass. And yeah, going straight here for this race. Sempo's been very well back, Johnny. There's been really, really good money for him. And you can see why. He's had a couple of runs over 2 miles. And you always got the feeling that they were being used to give him experience with the Irish National in mind. And they should stand him in good stead. 10-10 on his back. And of course, he got very, very good novice hurdle form last year.
Yeah, I had a lovely morning up at Joseph's. Half of the boys there were telling me Simpo would win. Half of the boys were telling me Home by the Lee would win. He's by Fame and Glory. Simpo, a horse who is a maiden actually going into race by Oscar. But he's very interesting. I'm two against the field here. I'm not being overly original. The big dog, I think, is made for a race like this. There is obviously that concern that Peter mentions about the ground, but he is going to run. Latest Exhibition, Fran, we heard from Paul mention this, and he has headgear on for the first time. If you see this horse in the flesh, he's not the most striking in the world. And Paul was of the mind, of the opinion, that he's quite a shell of a horse and that he just couldn't back up his Leopardstown run back-to-back at the Dublin Racing Festival. And obviously adding the fact that I wouldn't fancy running up Monkfish's hole either.
Definitely not. Look, I seen him last year prior to Cheltenham when he was second in the hurdle race. And I'd agree, Johnny, I'd say the time off has done him good. A huge run to chase Monkfish at Christmas and then not quite as good at the DRF. But look, he's got the cheek piece on. He's got the class. I agree with everything that Juki says about him. I do think, you know, this
big, big words.
Yeah, I just a class horse, and I'm really taking that they've taken their chance to. I think that's, you know, I really do wish them well because it's a brave move, and they could have took a safer option, if you like. Augusta Gold, where do we stand in her first run for Willie Mullins?
Yes, and she's obviously a mare who did well for Mags. What do you think, Juki? Is she going to benefit from that Mullins stable switch?
Well, possibly. It can't do any harm. I think all the Mullins train their horses very similarly, don't they, on those deep sand.
She was married to Tony, though, so it's not, I don't know, can you call her one of the Mullinses?
Can you not? Right. It's like Dallas down there, isn't it? Dallas in Carlow. Yeah. Anyway, it can't do any harm, and perhaps she can finish second to latest exhibition, but that's the best she can hope for.
Big, big words for, like, how many each-way places are you going to want in a race like this, John?
We are paying 7 places, Johnny, in the Irish National. I often see ones running into the places at big prices. What about Brace Yourself? He had a good run in the Porterstown back Sneaks in the Winter in. Festival. Yes, he's got a nice weight on his back. He'll stay every yard of the 3.5 miles as well. And he's a novice.
I just had a slight concern with this exhibition that he has been inclined a little bit to jump out to his right on occasion. But to be fair, Paul doesn't seem that big it's not that big of a concern. I've no issues with his jumping otherwise, even though he's a novice, because he's been running in proper company. And when you're jumping the last against Monkfish, trying to stay in contention, I don't really care if you haven't run the handicap, because you're under pressure as it is. But it's a brilliant renewal of the National. Just before we go, lads, and I get your naps, what are they doing with Tiger Roll? I love the O'Learys in so many ways. He was to run in this race potentially, which would have been a nonsense. The fact that he's going to Aintree and running the Aintree Bowl, Franberry, is almost as much of a nonsense. This horse should be running in the National. Why is he not running in the National?
He should be running the National, and it's a great shame because he could conceivably be a 3-time winner. Giant Red Rum is a history-making event. What can you say? It should be there. And but look, they're the owners. They take their opinions, and that's what they do. And I'm sure they won't lose any sleep over our opinion on it.
No. Juki, do you ever lose sleep over your own opinion?
Rarely. I'm a very good sleeper, and I'd say Michael O'Leary's a very sleeper as well, and he's a very good man, because whatever about being a 3-time Grand National winner, there are bigger concerns at play here. The BHA decided to stick their beaks in where it wasn't warranted over the Gordon Elliott affair, and Giggenstown have stood by their man. So basically what the BHA have is their biggest race of the year. Their flagship event is Hamlet without the Prince. And not only, that wasn't enough for O'Leary. He's such a master troller. Hamlet's going to be at the auditions 2 days beforehand to just cast another little shadow over the farce that he isn't running on the Saturday. So all praise to Michael O'Leary. He's an absolute hero of a man, and this is one of his greatest moments.
John McDonald, I think we've waited, whatever it is, might be 45 minutes in now, but we have the take of the On The Wire podcast. That was just beautiful from Juki. Not that I necessarily agree with him, but are you somewhere in the middle of our opinions?
It's a real shame, Johnny. Can you imagine the build-up over the next week, the build-up to the race? Looking forward to seeing Tiger Roll. But look, you got to respect them as the owners, Eddie and Michael O'Leary. That's their decision. And yeah, as Fran said, they won't lose sleep over our opinion.
Right, lads, you've 3 days. Give me a nap from any of those 3 days, starting with you, John.
I will go with John Kiley's Shule Valentine in the Mayor's Bumper on Saturday.
Fran?
I'll stick with Florida La Luna on Saturday, Cork, to kick off the weekend in good style. I think she'd be a bit of value.
Juki, you'd be surprised if it weren't latest exhibition for you.
I suppose it is latest exhibition. I have one other one I should mention, though, that I'll also be backing. I won't be having many bets this weekend, but latest exhibition one. But the other one would be this Viscount Gort, who runs on Sunday in a 2.5 mile novices handicap hurdle at 2:20. Now, it's a novices handicap hurdle, so plenty of them could be well handicapped, but I'm fairly sure this horse is. I was very taken with him when he won in Thurles. He jumped a little bit big at times, but he was very slick over the last two when it counted. And he's a real good actioned horse. Now, his granddam is that Liz Apuery, you know, that Kylie.
Yeah, I remember her well.
Yeah, no, that's another dynasty, and they usually have no problem with deep ground. And obviously, this horse does handle deep ground, but he's a very particularly good action horse. This will only be the fourth run of his career, third run over hurdles, mark of 108.
I'm going to give Super Citizen for the O'Sullivans, the 2:55. It's interesting, this horse could have gone for the Fox Hunters. Bear in mind, obviously, they won the race last year. And they know, Eugene O'Sullivan has won the Fox Hunters twice. He certainly knows how to train a good pointer and a good hunter. And I like the way this horse did at Leopardstown. I think the rise is lenient. Lads, it's been brilliant to have you on. Fran, when will we have a pint in the pub again?
Summertime, outdoor, Johnny. Hopefully we'll get out for a pint, an outsider 5K. Would that be nice?
Dukie?
Ah, well, my drinking club, of course, meets up every Monday. Four of us meet up on a bench from Leary's. And I'm going to another drinking club tomorrow with my de facto brother-in-law and two of his former flatmates. So the revolution is building, Johnny.
Didn't really answer the question, but it's nice you have a drinking club, John.
Oh, we're looking at August time, September time, I'd say, Johnny.
Yeah, I tend to agree, even though I've gotten to the point where I just think it's complete madness at this stage, because our numbers aren't even going down, really. And we had this mad moment cycling the other day, lads, where we're just going up this hill and basically, you know, it was me and my neighbour. My neighbour's in his 50s, and there were two kids who were on bikes who kind of cycled down. And my neighbour says to kids, any sign of the guards up there, lads? So you have a 50-year-old asking kids to look out for cops. That is the world we live in at the moment. But anyway, it is what it is. Lads, it's been great having you on.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, and thanks to the lads for coming in, and thanks to Bar One. And enjoy the Irish National. We will talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Racing TV podcast on the Wire.